Land will continue to remain in demand. Land remains a foundational asset in real estate, offering flexibility for various development opportunities. As urban sprawl and population growth continue, well-located land will always hold significant value. I truly feel that land is one of those things that it's just going to be more and more central to our economy as things move forward.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit TurningProfit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit Podcast. Maddie, it's so great to be here once again.
Thank you. It is very nice to be here.
Yes, we have a special guest host today, Maddie, who, if you don't know, is my oldest daughter of three.
Yes.
And she is heavily involved in our land investing business. You've been on the podcast a few times, haven't you?
I have. Yes, I have.
Is this maybe your third, fourth appearance, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Let's try to make this one the best.
Sounds good to me.
Not that the other ones were bad, Maddie.
I don't know. It seems like it's what you're saying.
I don't listen to the comments. Don't listen to the comments. No. Yeah, so today, since this is the last episode of 2024,
crazy.
I figured it would be a good idea to actually do our predictions for the real estate investing landscape for 2025.
Yeah, sounds like a logical conclusion.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are kind of happening, kind of big macro type things that are happening that I see as trends for 2025. I don't know everything. I know
most
things.
Seems like you do. That's how you act.
Yeah, it's true. But I do feel like I'm pretty entrenched as a real estate investor, and I've got a pretty good pulse of what's going to happen for 2025. Ultimately, we'll see, right?
We'll see. We'll check back on this next year.
Yeah. Okay. That could be embarrassing. Okay, so we're just going to go through this list, 1 through 10. I didn't put them in any particular order.
Yeah.
You know, do you just want to start with number one?
Yeah, let me see. Okay, so number one is kind of increased demand for affordable housing. So if we got to get into that, rising interest rates and inflation are kind of likely to make homeownership less accessible for people. And that leads to a heightened demand for affordable rental properties. So real estate investors who focus on that sector may find some significant opportunities.
Yeah, I really believe that's true. You know, we're going to find a lot of demand for that affordable housing sector. I mean, that's not going to go away anytime soon. It seems like it's only increasing in demand. So one of the things you mentioned, rising interest rates, I know the trend has been for interest rates to kind of soften up here at the end of this year, but I don't know. We'll see. There's some people that think that the interest rates are going to rise again. Some people think they're going to fall. I guess who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think regardless of what happens with interest rates or anything, affordable housing is going to be a trend that's not going to go away.
Unfortunately, it's not going to get any easier for people to find affordable housing. So
yeah.
If you're in that space, there's a lot of opportunity for you.
Yeah, especially in areas that high cost areas,
yes,
like Southern California. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's most people are priced out of actually owning a home in this area unless you have a really top, you know, paying job or something like that. Okay, I'll take number two. Growth in build to rent communities. So this is kind of following the trend that's been happening for the last couple of years, I guess. These are actual communities of homes, you know, like single family homes, which have traditionally been for sale. And there are communities popping up all around the country where they are actually built for the purpose of actually renting these homes out to people that want the single family home lifestyle, but they don't want the burden of actually owning the home. So I guess it gives the tenant some more flexibility.
Yeah.
And it also is a great asset for, you know, whoever is building these communities. Yeah. To own long term.
So is that the owners are the builders, or do they sell it off to people who then rent it out?
Yeah, I think a lot of times these are held by large hedge funds and things like that, like BlackRock or something similar, you know, or one of their entities where, you know, the whole goal from the beginning is just to kind of be involved in this asset class of single family homes, but do it in a more efficient way. And like previously they were just trying to buy up random homes everywhere. And I think they realized that it's probably a lot more efficient for them to actually own the whole community. Yeah. And then they can, you know, maintenance is much easier, you know, with something like that. You know, they've got a team of plumbers that handles the whole community rather than, you know, sending these people or
like
random
all over
places
the place.
All over town. So I think that's the efficiency is a big big thing there. And plus scale, you know, it allows them to actually scale their portfolio with, and they can plan it from the beginning that, hey, like, we're building 1,000 homes. These are all going to be ours, and, you know, probably helps them with their costs as well.
And, you know, they can't build that in the air, so they're going to have to build it on something.
Yes.
Perhaps land.
Perhaps land. That's a great point, Maddie. Yes. Do you want to take number three?
Yeah, I'll take number three. Okay. So surging interest in rural markets, remote work and lifestyle shifts, people kind of realizing that they don't want to have a long commute to go into the office when they can do everything from home. It'll continue to drive migration to smaller cities and suburban areas. So investors targeting these regions will benefit from increased demand and lower acquisition costs.
And that's what we've been doing with land. A lot of our land projects have been rural type stuff. So we buy rural properties in nice areas, which are seeing, you know, some good solid demand. And, you know, we've, for the most part, we haven't had any problems selling those types of properties. And in fact, it feels like that's accelerating.
Yeah.
Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
I mean, honestly, as long as we're getting decent properties, like where we can look at it and we're seeing like, okay, someone would want this. Those properties, you have no issue selling because people want them.
Yep.
It just haven't been on the market yet.
That's right. We're continuing to focus on that area going forward just because we feel like it's not slowing down anytime soon. So 2025, I think, will continue to be a good year for that. I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons behind that, I think, you know, partially because internet access is so available now to these rural areas and it wasn't a thing before. Flexible working type arrangements have really helped people quite a bit, you know, like, so I know that there's a kind of push to return to office, you know, but I think a lot of companies are finding out that either, you know, remote work is here to stay in some form or another, or even a hybrid type situation. Those are becoming more and more popular. So might have a situation where people are required to come in once a week or twice a week and then work from home the rest of the time. It's much easier to commute an hour, you know, once or twice a week than to do it, you know, every single day.
I think, honestly, kind of piggybacking off of that, these companies that are really pushing those return to work mandates, I think there's going to be a big realization that their workers are just not getting as much done mm-hmm. in office.
Right.
And I think they've kind of glossed over that over the past few years, like, okay, well, we're kind of seeing this, but it'll be fine if everyone comes into the office. We'll have the same productivity. Right. I think there's going to be a big realization that people are more productive from home, or at least certain types of people.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I'm sure there's some businesses that are really important to do, you know, in-person type thing. And some businesses, it really doesn't matter as much. I mean, we're fully remote with our whole team and it works out great. Everyone's able to have some flexibility in their own lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they can work from wherever they are in the world. So I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take number four.
Awesome.
Farmland will be an attractive long-term hold. So farmland offers stability and consistent return due to its limited supply and increasing global food demand. Investors are likely to see a hedge against inflation and an asset with enduring value. So farmland is slowly disappearing, and it's, you know, it's one of those things that's been slowly disappearing for a long time. Premium farmland properties are always seem to be in demand for us. So whenever we pick something up, you know, I almost feel bad. Yeah, I almost feel bad reselling it because I know that it's going to be worth more in the future. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's an asset class. If you're just looking for some sort of long-term hold, I think it's a really interesting place to be because you can actually, you don't have to be a farmer if you own farmland. There are generally plenty of farmers out there that are more than willing to lease your land from you. And so obviously you get the benefit of the long-term asset appreciation. You do get some income to offset property taxes and things like that. The income that you get from leasing your farmland in most areas is very low. Sometimes you can get you can work out some sort of arrangements where you get a share of the crop, something like that. But it's not going to make you rich doing that, but it will be a great way to hold and offset those expenses to carry that land.
So exactly.
I see that continuing. That's not going to go away anytime soon.
I guess I'll take number five. So number five is an emphasis on renewable energy. So there will continue to be a lot of opportunity in the renewable energy space, including solar farms, which commercial and industrial solar, home solar, EV charging stations, battery storage, and more.
Yes.
I think that will continue even with the new administration coming in and probably changing some things, but I think it's still going to be a...
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure where the denial of the global warming thing is coming from, but it's interesting because renewable energy is here to stay. It's going to be driven, honestly, by the costs. So the costs of renewable energy are actually lower than fossil fuel energy. And when you have a disruption like that, that's where it's cheaper, that's where the money is going to flow. So we've got the Inflation Reduction Act. Hopefully everything involved in that is going to stay in place. There's a lot of incentives for renewable energy development and particularly solar, which is an area that we are focusing on in the upcoming year and beyond. So developing solar farms. But I also think there's a lot of opportunity in related areas, building out EV charging stations.
Yes.
You know, that's going to become more and more of a thing. Also battery storage. You know, so obviously solar energy only produces when the sun is out, and then there's demand for energy when the sun isn't shining. So battery storage is a kind of a good complement to renewable energy and or solar energy, and the fact that it can store that energy made in the day and then send it out to the grid at night when those assets aren't producing.
Yeah.
Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting-edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com. to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success.
And I think that particularly is going to be an even bigger thing as kind of the battery technology evolves, and they're able to store more energy in smaller spaces. And I think it's just going to be a big opportunity. But also I think it's interesting because kind of the pieces of land that are ideal for those EV charging stations or for battery storage are kind of pieces of land that we would previously have thought were undesirable.
Yes.
Kind of right next to the substations, just not big chunks of land, just kind of undesirable.
Ugly.
Yeah, ugly. So I think there's going to be, even if we're not even talking about this category specifically, just there's going to be more uses in the future for these ugly, undesirable pieces of land.
I foresee at some point in the future, maybe not in 2025, but I foresee some point in the future that there's going to be a conversion process going on with their gas stations.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
Those are all perfect locations. They have convenience stores generally, and they are perfectly positioned to be, you know, to transition into EV charging stations. So obviously, there's going to be a period of time where cars and vehicles are going to need gas as well as, you know, EV charging, but the transition is on its way and it's going to happen quicker than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
And in order to really make that happen, we've got to have the charging available everywhere.
Ideally is the battery, this charging technology will advance to the point where it takes like 10 minutes for a full charge. So you pull into one of those spaces at the gas station. It's like you're going to fill up at the pump, but it's really just you plug in, wait 10 minutes or less, and then you can just drive off. And it's kind of the same thing. But
go inside, go to the bathroom, pick up some Twinkies, and then you're gone.
I think that'd be a really great opportunity for these convenience stores to become more of like hangout little hangout spots. I think there's a really great opportunity for that too.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting.
Next is the repurposing of commercial and retail spaces will become a hot category. Now I'm specifically thinking about shopping malls. I'm thinking about office spaces and other underutilized commercial properties are going to be converted into, you know, either residential, mixed use, commercial, or changing up the use to some alternative. This trend, I think, offers a lot of opportunities for those investors that are creative.
Yeah.
How can you better use some of these shopping malls that have closed, you know, where there's no Sears, there's no Kmart, there's no JCPenney anymore? Like what these huge anchor stores and huge open spaces in there, like what could they be used for? Could they be used for, you know, apartments inside there? Could they be used for experience type, you know, situations? So there's all kinds of things. And then obviously, you know, this work from home type thing has created some office space in some of these major cities. So I think that there's going to be a trend to repurpose some of that to residential or other type of uses as well.
Something we've talked about for years, like 20 years or something, yeah. is that we the kind of the idea of having our house be a mall.
Oh, yes. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just something I always think about. Like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if each of our rooms were like these big department stores? And
yeah, you can come over to my room. It's over at the Foot Locker.
But I know something I've seen, actually, not I was going to say recently, but it's probably been like 10 years ago since I started seeing it, is schools popping up in these malls, kind of these underutilized malls. They're kind of on the decline, but I've seen schools popping up, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's great use.
Yeah, so just kind of something I thought of, but it's just there's a lot of opportunity there.
And then talking about schools, I've seen people repurposing old schools.
Yes. Yes.
There's one video I got sucked into watching on YouTube. It was some of them that was converting a school into their residence. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but I've seen that. We've come across, like, we've had people bring in deals. It's been old schools.
Yes.
And there's always that thought of like, huh, maybe we should buy this. Well,
what could we do with this? Yes.
We've never actually done it yet.
Just like people have converted missile silos to, what do they call it? Like apocalypse type shelters or something like that. Yeah. Okay. So you are number seven, Manny.
All right. So this one is the big one. Data centers or data centers, depending on how you pronounce it, kind of switch around, will become increasingly important for the infrastructure of our country. When this is involved with the rise of AI, cloud computing, and big data, demand for data centers will surge and is already surging and not going away in the future. These facilities are critical for powering the digital economy, making them a high growth investment opportunity.
There's going to be a lot of opportunity there, a lot of money flowing into that space. And a lot of these large tech companies are just full steam ahead on building out these large data centers because they realize it's the future and they're going to need the compute power and they're going to need these data centers in order to power what's coming next.
Exactly. So
AI wave is not stopping and we're on an exponential curve right now and things are going to get nuts in that whole area. Yeah. So.
And it's interesting you say like in preparation for what's coming next, mm-hmm. we can't even imagine what's coming next.
We can't. You're right.
No.
That's a great point.
We can try, but we really... We know that the trend is going to be that there's going that these data centers will be needed, right. but we can't even imagine the possibilities for what they could be needed for.
That's right.
It's pretty cool.
So expansion of mixed use development. So mixed use properties are combining like residential, retail, and commercial spaces. And I feel like they're going to gain a lot of popularity going forward. I mean, it just makes sense. There's been a lot of kind of innovative projects that we see here and there along those lines. And I think that will continue. Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
I mean, who wouldn't want to live in an area where you can have your residence and you can just go downstairs and it's a bunch of stuff to do, shopping, all of the things that you need to live, grocery stores, whatever, just right there. Like, yep. That kind of seems like the dream.
That's right.
So it just makes sense, really.
And, you know, they get better and better with doing these projects. So more and more innovative things, you get services close by. And so I think there's a lot of appeal in that for certain people. Okay, so Are you number nine?
I think I am number nine, yeah. So continued growth in industrial real estate. And this kind of stems from the e-commerce expansion will drive demand for warehouses and logistics centers. Industrial real estate remains a high growth sector, offering stable returns for investors.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't really see a switch in the trend of people buying more things online. It's convenient. It's easy to do. And you don't realize what everything that's goes into that.
Yes.
All of the logistical things, all of the warehouses to store all of this stuff. It's a lot.
Yes.
So a lot of opportunity.
And in manufacturing as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously the 80s, 90s, 2000s, where there was a big, you know, everything was made abroad and we were fine with that. So we got rid of a lot of our domestic manufacturing. I think that trend is reversing.
Yeah.
And obviously we realize that, you know, we need to be as self-reliant as we can and manufacture as much here as we can domestically. And I think that, you know, with automated manufacturing, it's less about the labor. It's more about the machinery and the robotics and everything that is put into place. So I think we can ultimately compete with China in a lot of these ways and hopefully produce better quality things at reasonable costs. And obviously you don't have the shipping as much shipping involved when you're not, you know, buying things from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
In that regard, you know, the industrial space will be in demand as well, I believe. Yeah. So, okay. And, number 10, land will continue to remain in demand.
Sounds good for us.
Yes. Land remains a foundational asset in real estate, offering flexibility for various development opportunities. As urban sprawl and population growth continue, well-located land will always hold significant value. So, I truly feel that, you know, land is one of those things that it's just going to be more and more central to our economy as things move forward. I was listening to a book last night. It was a pretty good book. It was about abundance and things that could potentially play out in the future with AI and all the technology advancements that are coming and everything. And in the future, he mentioned that there was kind of three major categories which could be considered, you know, part of the equation that would be in the future. One is labor. Obviously, labor is a big part of our economy now. There is capital, meaning like investment and everything like that. And the third category he mentioned was land. Land, obviously, is going to be in the future. It's going to be remain a constant. And if you have land and you have capital, and you can basically earn either income from it or, you know, increase your wealth in some way by making use of it. So,
and I wanted to touch on that thing where you said well-located land. And I think you guys kind of did an episode on this, but what's well-located or pieces of land that aren't considered well-located now may in the future be well-located as, you know, urban sprawl and everything, cities continue to be built out, could be changing. So
good point, Maddie.
You know, you never know. It's more of a speculative position to hold.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're thinking about that, you just kind of look at things logically and say, hey, where is the path of progress? Why are things progressing in this manner? If technology improves in this way, you know, for instance, we have unlimited energy. If you believe that there's going to be unlimited cheap energy in the future with either fusion energy or just an abundance of solar, you know, energy that is very inexpensive, what kinds of things can we do?
Yeah.
I mean, we could desalinate all the water we wanted, you know, we could make the desert, you know, kind of a tropical oasis if we wanted to. So things like that are going to change things, you know, and if you're kind of looking ahead and trying to, you know, if you have certain things that you really believe in and, you know, you can make a bet in that direction and it could really pay off. So it might not.
It might not.
But it could.
It could. Exactly. And that's why you have to think logically about it, but you have to realize that you don't know everything.
I'm glad that we decided to cover this on our episode today. I think these are definitely important areas to keep an eye on in 2025. And just wish everyone a very happy new year.
Yes.
A couple quick things. If you are interested in investing or putting some capital to use for you, check out, I've got a page on our website, turningprofit.com. If you just go to lender.turningprofit.com, you can fill out a quick form there and we could potentially work together on some larger deals or some lending, things like that. And then as well, if you are interested in kind of expanding your interests as a land investor, we've got a community all built around that, and that's called Land Conquest. You can find it on the school platform, which is SKOOL. Or if you just simply go to landconquest.com, you'll see a link to our community for there. It's a free community. Yeah. no charge to join the community and hop in the conversation there.
A lot of very knowledgeable people in there who are just willing to jump in and help you out and answer questions and whatever.
Just a tremendous amount of historical resource there, because we've got about 2 years of posts in there.
And more than that, I think.
Yeah. Is it?
I think it's been, yeah.
We've got about 5,000 members. We're hovering, as of this recording, we're hovering just under 5,000 members. So maybe we'll surpass that here by the new year. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for watching, and we'll see you in 2025.
Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.